We're continuing in our series on the heart made glad. What it means to have a heart made glad by the grace of God's forgiveness. Our anchor text is buried deeply in the little book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where it says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. The Lord has taken away your punishment." That's forgiveness. And God's forgiveness makes the heart glad. We've already seen that the heart made glad by the grace of forgiveness rejoices in God and celebrates God. So today, let's discover how the heart made glad by forgiveness serves God. For that, we turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 883. We have visited this passage before. Now we're coming back, looking at the word from a little bit different angle this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Let's pray as we prepare to experience God's word in action in our hearts, minds, and lives. Lord, how wonderful it is to breathe in the pure air of your grace, to have our guilt and our sin and our shame lifted, to be free, and to know that you forgive. What amazing grace. Lord, may it not be so familiar to us that we are dulled to its effect, but may gladness stir up in our hearts and outward from our lives to a needy world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ray Hammond entered Harvard University at age 15 as a sophomore. He had his Harvard degree by the time he was 19. Eventually, the mayor of Boston noticed Ray's brilliance, and the mayor offered Ray an $80,000 a year cabinet-level post as chief of human services for all of Boston. Well, Ray politely declined the mayor's offer so that he could pastor an inner-city church for a lot less money. What compels a person of such immense talent, such brilliant intellect, for whom wealth and worldly success are so achievable, to dedicate himself to an inner city ministry in Boston's distressed neighborhoods? When Sylvia Anthony's husband died in an accident, she used the money that she was awarded in the settlement to house young unwed mothers needing transitional housing. Well, when her home filled up, she rented another, and then another, then another. And now her work, called Sylvia's Haven, has expanded to 50 housing units. What impels a woman in her 60s, in the midst of grief and sorrow, to spend the biggest chunk of money she's ever seen on lost, sometimes drug-addicted, unwed mothers? Mrs. Ensor spent her long career as a public school teacher. After she retired, she announced to her children that she was moving to Russia to become a missionary. And there she taught Christian ethics in the Russian public schools to teachers, to students, and their parents. Well, in her 70s, Mrs. Ensor told her children that she had been in Russia long enough and she was moving to Mongolia to do missionary work there. in her 70s. What would motivate anyone to do that? What would motivate a young college woman to leave the comforts of her family, the familiarity of her home, the security of her culture, and go to a foreign land among a people of strange tongue whom she does not know to share the good news of the gospel? Ray Hammond, Mrs. Ensor, Sylvia Anthony, Carly, all have hearts made glad through the forgiveness that God offers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people with hearts made glad by God's forgiveness become servants of the gospel. We see that in the words that the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God, enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Well, that's not a good condition, is it? It's a condition of guilt. The heaviness, the alienation, the oppressiveness of guilt. Alienation, that's not good. From God, that's really not good. Enemies in our minds. Wicked thinking leading to evil behavior. That is guilt piled upon guilt. That's where we were. But where are we now? Now, He, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation. That's forgiveness. No longer alienated from God, but now reconciled to God. That's forgiveness through the death of Christ on the cross. No longer evil in thinking and enemies and behavior, but now God seeing us as holy, set apart for Him in His sight. No blemish, no pimple on our soul. Free from accusation, free from condemnation. That is the amazing grace of forgiveness. And what is the conduit of that forgiveness? How do we receive that? If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. We receive that amazing grace, that incredible forgiveness, that life-transforming release from guilt through the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which Paul says, I've become a servant. And so the message for us through Paul is, forgiveness is received through the gospel, and it leads to becoming servants of the gospel. Recipients of the gospel become servants of the gospel. In other words, people with hearts made glad by God's forgiveness become servants of the gospel. But what do servants of the gospel do? We can answer that question by examining the ministry of Paul himself. And in the ministry of Paul, we see that servants of the gospel share the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul took three missionary journeys plus a journey to Rome. And here's the map of the ancient world that shows the various places that he traveled. Many of the names are unfamiliar to us. A lot of them we can't even read. So let's superimpose a contemporary map on top. And we see that Paul traveled in through Syria and Turkey and Greece and Italy. Paul was a servant of the gospel who shared the good news of the gospel wherever he went. To the church in Rome, Paul writes from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, that's Yugoslavia and Albania, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. To the church in Corinth, Paul writes, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To the church in Colossae, Paul writes, "We proclaim Him, Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect," in other words, mature, "in Christ. To this end I labor." This is my goal. This is my purpose. This is where I'm heading. To proclaim Christ and present everyone mature in Him. Servants of the gospel share the good news of Jesus Christ out of the gladness of a heart that is forgiven by grace. 9-year-old Austin went to the hospital to have his tonsils removed. And before the surgery, Austin received a visit from the anesthesiologist, the sleep doctor, whose surgical cap was covered in colorful frogs. And Austin loved the frog hat. When the anesthesiologist started to leave, Austin called out, "Hey, wait!" And the doctor pivoted around and replied, "Yeah, buddy, what do you need?" Austin asked, "Do you go to church?" And the doctor admitted, "Well, no, I probably should, but I don't." Then Austin said, "Well, are you saved?" Well, the doctor kind of chuckled nervously and said, "Well, nope. But after talking to you, maybe it's something I should consider." Austin answered, "Well, you should, because Jesus is great." The doctor replied, "Well, yeah, I'm sure he is, little guy." And then the doctor very quickly made his exit. Well, after the surgery, the anesthesiologist went to the waiting room to find Austin's mother, and he told her, "You know, as the anesthesiologist, I usually don't come and talk to patient family after the surgery. That's what the surgeon does, but the anesthesiologist doesn't. So I don't normally do this, but I want to tell you about something that your son did." And the mother thought to herself, "Oh, now what did that little rascal do?" The anesthesiologist explained that he was just putting the mask on Austin when Austin signaled that he needed to say something. So the doctor removed the mask, and the little 9-year-old blurted out, "Wait a minute, we have to pray." The doctor told him to go ahead, and Austin prayed, "Dear Lord, please let all the doctors and nurses have a good day. And Jesus, please let the doctor with the frog hat get saved and start going to church. Amen." Well, the anesthesiologist admitted this really touched him. He explained to Austin's mother, he said, I was absolutely sure that Austin would pray that his surgery would go well. But he didn't even mention his surgery. Didn't even mention himself. He prayed for me. He prayed for me. "And ma'am, I just have to come down and let you know what a great little guy you have." Well, a few minutes later, the nurse came to take Austin's mother up to post-op, and the nurse had a big smile on her face as they walked to the elevator, and the nurse said, I just couldn't wait to tell you about something exciting that your son did." And Austin's mother smiled, and she told the nurse that the doctor had already mentioned Austin's prayer. The nurse replied, but there's more that you don't know. Some of the other nurses and I have been witnessing to that doctor and praying for him for a long time. And after your son's surgery, he tracked a few of us down to tell us about Austin's prayer. And he said to us, "Well, ladies, you got me. If that little boy could pray for me when he was about to have surgery, then I think maybe I need his Jesus too." And the nurse explained how they joined with the doctor as he prayed to receive Christ right there in the hospital. Now, if a 9-year-old boy can do it, what's stopping us? 9-year-old kid. If he can do it, maybe we can too. Share the good news of Christ with people whom God puts in our path. Our hearts have been made glad by God's forgiveness. We are recipients of the gospel of amazing grace. Why do we keep it in? And recipients of the gospel become servants of the gospel. And servants of the gospel share the good news of Christ. As believers, God puts us into lives of people who need to hear the good news. God put little 9-year-old Austin into the life of that anesthesiologist, whose heart he was already preparing through the prayers of the nurses to hear that good news. God puts you into the life of somebody at work, somebody at school, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody in your family. God has inserted you into their lives so that you could share the good news of Christ with them. Paul did it throughout the entire Mediterranean world. Austin did it with an anesthesiologist, the sleep doctor. That sleep doctor woke up. Into whose life is God putting you? God's put you into the life of someone to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you share the good news with that person? Don't let fear stop you. If not you, who? Who will share? You're the person whom God has put into that person's life. If not, when? Now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. If not now, when? Now, you may not be an Apostle Paul, but I think maybe you could be an Austin. I think maybe I could be an Austin. All we need to do is recognize that we're here, inserted into other people's lives, to share the good news of the amazing grace that we have found. We're servants of the gospel. Let's share the good news. Furthermore, in the ministry of Paul, we see that servants of the gospel do good works for Christ. Now, we are saved by faith and not by works. The scripture is clear on that. We're saved by faith, not by works, yet saving faith works. If our faith is real, if our faith is genuine, if our faith is the sincere faith of the gospel, that faith is going to be expressed in what we say and in what we do. We're saved by faith, not works, yet saving faith works. Nowhere is this more clear than Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Yet, saving faith works. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do those good works that God has already set up in advance, so that when we get there, we're getting to where God already set up. If you're a Christian, your heart's been made glad by forgiveness, a forgiveness freely given, a grace unearned, a mercy unmerited. And once you become a recipient of the gospel, you become a servant of the gospel. God has prepared a good work in advance for you to do. God had prepared a good work in advance for Austin to do. By the time Austin met the sleep doctor with the frog hat, God had already been working in that sleep doctor's life through the prayers of the witnessing of the nurses. God's preparing a good work in advance for you to do, so that when you get there, the work is prepared for you. All you need to do is pluck the fruit. One of Paul's good works was collecting donations from the predominantly Gentile churches for the poor Jewish church in Jerusalem. It's a good work God gave him to do, prepared in advance for him. And so, in Acts chapter 24, as part of his testimony, Paul says, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people, the Jewish people, gifts for the poor. And then in the epistle to the Galatian church, Paul writes, James and Peter and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. All they asked was that we should consider to continue to remember the poor. Very thing he's eager to do. Paul, welcome. You're one of us. You're a brother in Christ. We just want you to do one thing. Remember the poor. That was one of the good works that God had prepared in advance for Paul to do and that he was eager to do. How are we remembering the poor as Paul did? What good work has God prepared in advance for us to do? What good work has God laid on your heart? Whatever it is, if we're servants of the gospel, as Paul was, then we'll do good works for Christ, as Paul did. Whatever he's prepared in advance for us to do. So who are people whose hearts are made glad by the gospel of God's forgiveness? People with hearts made glad by God's forgiveness become servants of the gospel. And servants of the gospel share the good news of Christ and do good works for Christ. And the opportunities are so abundant. No one person can do it all. You know, we all receive appeals. Give to this, do that. And so the question is, what's God calling me to do? What's God calling you to do? What good work has he prepared for you? Whom would God have me to share the gospel with? It really comes down to this. How do I find my part? With whom would God have me share the gospel? What good work would God have me to do? How do I find my part in this grand scheme of gospel ministry? It's a little passage that Paul has written into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3, sometimes we skip over it because we're reading so quickly. But listen to what he writes to the Thessalonians. We continually remember before our God and Father your labor prompted by love. Your labor prompted by love. What labor would God have me to do? The labor that he is prompting me to do by the love he's placed in my heart. My part is whatever labor God's love in me prompts me to do. It'll look different for one than for another. But my part is whatever labor God's love in me prompts me to do. For one, it might be children's ministry. For another, it might be student ministry. For yet another, jail ministry. For yet another, the community garden to help the poor in our community. For another, a missions trip to share Christ overseas like Carly. What is it that God's love that he has placed in you is prompting you to do? That's your part. That's your assignment. God's love in Ray Hammond prompted him to share the gospel in Boston's inner city. God's love in Sylvia Anthony prompted her to provide transitional housing for needy women, much like Bethlehem Inn is beginning to do right here in Waseca. God's love in Mrs. Ensor prompted her to teach in Russia and Mongolia. God's love in Carly's heart is prompting her to go to this Asian country where they don't even have a word for resurrection. As a servant of the gospel, what is God's love in you prompting you to do? Did you know that love invented the piggy bank? You learn something new every day, don't you? God's love invented the piggy bank. The piggy bank was invented a long time ago by missions agencies as a fundraiser to provide missionaries in China with funds to purchase piglets. So they had a piglet bank or a piggy bank to purchase piglets on the mission field for the missionaries. And why were the missionaries there? Love prompted them to go so that the gladness of the gospel could spread to the nations. So love invented the piggy bank. What good work will love invent in your life? What will love invent in your life? It's God's love He's placed in you, stirring up in you, prompting you to share the good news of Christ with a particular person into whose life God has inserted you for that very purpose? Is God's love springing up in you to do a good work for somebody in the name of Christ? What's my part in this? What's your part in this? Your part, my part, is what God's love in you and in me prompts you and me to do. It'll look different for everybody, but it's all the same Lord, the same Christ, the same gospel, the same grace, the same forgiveness. Is your heart made glad by God's forgiveness? Are you happy the guilt is gone? Are you happy the shame is erased? Are you happy the sin is removed? Are you happy the burden is lifted? Are you happy that you're free, the chains are off, your heart's set free? Are you happy for amazing grace? Is your heart made glad by God's forgiveness? Then you'll become a servant of the gospel. You won't be able to hold it in. Recipients of the gospel become servants of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we give you praise and thanks for such amazing grace, such unmerited mercy, such unearned grace. No longer alienated from you, but now reconciled to you. No longer enemies in our mind and our evil behavior, but now friends of Jesus, doing good work for him. Thank you for such amazing grace. Lord, stir up in our hearts the labor that your love is prompting us to do. And give us the courage, the boldness to do it, so that people's lives might be touched and transformed by your amazing grace, even as ours have been. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming today. It's always a good day in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I mean, what better thing there is to do than to worship God in the company of his people? Thanks for coming. If you'd like to pray with someone after the service, John and Eileen Langford will be up at the front. They will be very happy to pray with you about whatever you would like. And I want to give a shout out to all the dads today. Happy Father's Day. Let's give a round of applause to our dads. And we have a little gift for you. They will be in the foyer there as you exit the worship center in a few moments. So dads, be sure to pick up a gift. And I think there might be a few left over, so pick up a gift for some other dad in your life. And use that as a gospel opportunity. Let's stand for God's blessing from his word. And now may the grace, amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, who has reconciled us to himself by the body of Christ on the cross, and the Holy Spirit activating this grace in our lives, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen.